Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the biggest problem we have, other than having pieces of paper just simply fall spontaneously in our offices, is to get proper connections with Skype. Now, you think, Skype? What's the problem with that? You just call up somebody and connect. Except, we tried that for about 10 minutes, and Chris would hear the telltale tones that somebody's trying to call him on Skype. He'd answer, and there'd be nobody there. Almost like some kind of psychic phenomenon, or in this case, maybe a psychotic phenomenon.
Yeah. It's definitely a paranormal experience here. Good old marveling at the marvels of modern technology.
Now I want to give you something about modern technology here. Now, in our other radio show, The Tech Night Out Live, we very frequently talk about audio, getting the best sound from something. And I have a little background in that because I used to do some work for a guy named Bob Carver, who's very famous in the audio industry. So anyway, my guest on this particular session was talking about an article he read in a British audio publication where they were talking about the sonic differences in the audio coming from a regular hard drive, a network drive, and a solid-state drive, and insisted that the audio character of the digital audio from each of those drives was different. I'm waiting for you to digest this. This has to be a psychic phenomenon or the height of illusion. I hear the sound of silence.
Yeah, it's the sound of one hand slapping. Jeez. I have no idea. The one hard drive to another, it's the audio card and the sound card and the quality of the microphone of the speakers, I would think, right? It's playback.
We're talking about the same audio production, the same computer with different hard drives.
I have no idea. You're the Tech Night Owl. I'm just a functioning computer illiterate. I always thought that the quality of sound has to do with the quality of the actual recording, the encoding process, and then the decoding process, the quality of your speakers. If it's anything different than that, that's in your realm.
This has to be the psychic realm, because there is no realm where this could possibly exist.
You know, you got me. I'm an analog man, like the Joe Walsh song, you know. I read all my emails and delete all my spam. I'm an analog man.
All right. Let's talk about last week's episode of After the Paracast, which was partly responsive to the episode in which we talked about Heaven's Gate with Dr. Benjamin Zeller. Now, this was fascinating here because there's an ongoing discussion in our forums arguing over whether Heaven's Gate, the people involved in that movement, were really a UFO cult.
No, it's just one person having taken exception to it. Everybody else as well. They talked about UFOs all the time. But did they actually talk about it when they first began 40 years ago? Who cares? They were wing nuts. They're what make this field toxic to academia and to most of the world. It's people like that that give this field a bad name, and I don't care if it wasn't part of their original manifesto. It sure became part of it real quick. So who cares? They were wing nuts. They killed themselves because a comet happened to fly by, and they believed some BS about some sort of a companionship to the comet. I mean, they were all walking Darwin Award winners. I mean, they factored themselves out of the gene pool. Retroactive birth control, you know, and gave the field of ufology yet another smack in the backside and you know, another black eye. Move on. end of rant.
We could also do a whole show just about forums and how they take on different attitudes and how people just will take the most simple argument or turn a phrase and make it into an endless commentary that goes on for 150 messages.
Yeah, and, you know, I think people need to ratchet back all the intellectualism and being in their heads and try to be eloquent with as few words as possible. Those are the types of forum posts I like, the ones that really make you think in about two sentences instead of this paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of legal briefs and semantics and, you know, going in, well, you have to define this before you can even address that. Who cares? How do you really feel about this stuff? You know, what's your gut sort of Zen cone that's going to move mountains and influence, you know, entire nation states of people? Let's you know, cut it down, cut the verbiage, get to the point. Don't dog everybody because they have views that are different from yours. That's a problem with forums. People are always trying to convince other people that they're wrong and that they're right. And, you know, it just gets old after a while. My eyes glaze over. I start to develop rashes, you know.
What kind of rashes? We should talk about this, but don't say anything rash.
It's a rash in my hypothalamus or my pineal gland or something. I get pineal gland rot.
Well, you know, one of my friends back in the old days of radio, his name was R.J. Kite or Robert Kite. In fact, he does some of the voiceovers for our other radio show, The Tech Night Out Live. And R.J. used to talk about how it impacted his griznoid.
His griznoid?
You see, you don't have to ask that question. You know, people would listen to this and realize it's nonsense. They wouldn't ask what a griznoid is.
Okay, I'll bite. What's a griznoid, Gene?
You're not supposed to ask.
No, I just said I'd bite, so I did ask. So tell me, what is a griznoid?
Well,
it sounds like something that doesn't normally see the light of day.
I think that's a fair way to put it. Hey, you know what does see the light of day is the fact that we do have that other radio show called After the Powercast, and you can hear the kind of things that we bring up on that show, and it's sometimes off the wall, sometimes really apt. My comments are off the wall, and Chris says things that are very appropriate. You can get a copy of it if you join the Powercast Plus. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com, and you sign up, $5 a month, $50 a year. It's about the price of a small Frappuccino from Starbucks or Big Mac. I guess that's what Big Macs go for nowadays. It might even be higher. In any case, you get an ad-free version, higher resolution version of the show. So all those extra ads are stripped out. You get After the Powercast, which is an exclusive feature. You get a chat room, and we've got other stuff on the horizon. The Powercast Plus, plus.thepowercast.com. Now, today, we don't visit the fantasy of UFOs in a religious movement. We look at the real UFOs, and we try to figure out what's going on. Tell us, Chris, about our guest.
Well, Gene, recently here this past fall, November, I winged my way east to New Jersey for my very first East Coast presentation, and I spoke at the great New Jersey UFO Paranormal Conference that's been held for many, many years by Pat Marcatilio. And Dave Stinnett has taken it over, and David is our guest today. He's a really great guy. I had a wonderful time with him. We've struck up a friendship now, and I mentioned, hey, you know, some of the cases that you've investigated, some of your research work would be really, I think, fun to share with our listeners here at the Paracast. So we have David Stinnett, who's now the director of the twice annual New Jersey UFO Conference down in the southern part of the state in Morgantown.
This is going to be a fascinating show, a fascinating episode. And although I live in that area, I never met David. I'm a hermit, so I don't really meet anybody. I guess that's the problem. But I never met him before. But this is going to be a really fascinating, straight-ahead, brick and mortar kind of episode. You know, I'm going to get the solid facts, solid scientific research, that sort of thing. Coming up next with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back on the Paracast. Don't forget plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. For Paracast Plus, our premium subscription package where you get the After the Paracast radio show, the ad-free version of the Paracast, and more stuff. We welcome David Stinnett, who is involved with an organization called the New Jersey UFO Conference. And they, of course, hold UFO conferences in southern New Jersey. And I used to live in that vicinity until about 22 years ago. He's got a wide range of experience in UFO field work. We want to know more. David, welcome to the PowerCast.
Thank you, Jane.
So let us start as young as possible. How did you get involved in studying UFOs?
I think I usually say that, like, our generation or my generation grew up with, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, and ghosts. So, you know, you're watching the old In Search Ofs and stuff like that. So I'd probably say, you know, 11 or 12, I started really getting interested in this type of stuff. But I think I ran across the Ted Phillips, one of Ted Phillips' old films on TV back then. And I just thought he had the coolest job. And I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to check this out. So basically, I just started, I think one of my first books was Paris Flamand's UFO Exist. And Paris is a great researcher in his own right. But that, like, really kind of started feeding me on, you know, studying UFOs. Yeah. And so that kind of, like, really started stoking me into learning more about UFOs. So I started reading everything that there was and trying to get to conferences. But I was a kid, and even that stuff is what back then was more tinfoil hatty than it is today. But
now, Paris Flamand, let's remind listeners who he is. I think he's still around. I haven't. But
he's a friend on my Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, him and I, you know, talk from time to time.
Now, Paris was once the producer of the Long John Neville radio show back in the 50s and 60s. So he's been around for a long time. And, of course, Long John Neville was the pioneer paranormal talk show host. Before there was an Art Bell, there was a Long John. And that's where I knew Paris Flamand slightly. But he was heavily and deeply involved in UFO research and wrote extensively on the subject, right?
Yeah. And it was good. It was, you know, good research. So you weren't, you know, well, for that time, what they had to deal with as far as information. But in the same sense, the information was a little less filtered back then than it is now. So, you know, they were kind of letting it all hang out. And I think a lot of the good information is probably from, like, early Kehoe and stuff like that, because it's just breaking. These guys were in on it, and guys like Flamand and, you know, the writers of that time who were serious about it were putting up some pretty interesting stuff.
I should point out that one of the books that Paris Flamand wrote was one called The Kennedy Conspiracy. So he was very much involved also in the murder of John Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's rather...
I know that. Is that true?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
I did not know that.
He kind of seems to have made his bones in the John F. Kennedy stuff, per se, because he did, you know, excellent work in it.
So it's interesting how people get involved in such a wide range of subjects.
Made his bones, David, that's a real New Jersey expression, right?
It's true.
And this book was early. It was written in 1969. I don't even know if you even get a copy anymore. But so he's been involved in a lot of these things for a long time. Let's talk about your involvement. Now, obviously, you read important, interesting books, but did you ever actually see anything strange?
Oh, yeah, tons of it. But see, once I turned, you know, 18, once I turned 20, say, like, 1985, that's when I actually started going out and going to hotspots, areas that were supposedly active. So, you know, I've got stuff from down in Gulf Breeze, down in the Gulf, when that was hot. I've got footage all over, but since I'm here in the, you know, let's put it this way. I have a four-year-old car that has 160,000 miles on it. I do so much running that I've kind of just based myself out of where I'm at here in Jersey and just kind of hitting the western Pennsylvania, New Jersey shores. You know, South Jersey has some activity. New York has some activity from time to time. So it's a busy area for air traffic. So you really have to have light, you know, live flight aware on, so you know what's coming in and out of your area. And it's tough in here as opposed to maybe going out west, where you have better skies and clearer skies. You don't have all the lighting all over the place blasting everything out.
Let me just mention, I did discover this. Paris Flamand died at the age of 86 on November 10th, 2013.
No, Paris was talking to me because I was telling him I was going out and interviewing Travis Walton and his crew out in Snowflake. And he said to me, he goes, I didn't think any reputable UFO researcher was still looking into that case. And I go, yeah, it's still active. You know, it's still got stuff to be wrung out. But it was kind of funny he made that statement because evidently he had dismissed the Walton case.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe we should look at that. I want to get back to the question about what you've seen because you've covered a lot of things in the UFO field. So why did Paris Flamand not believe in the Travis Walton case?
I have no idea. I guess he thought there were too many hang-ups within the case, so he wasn't buying it.
What about your opinion? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, something happened. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that something happened. This is exactly what happened. You know, it's funny because they roll up on this thing and they think the forest is on fire, so it's red. So I'm wondering, was it one of these great big red orbs that we see all the time, you know, floating around? Or, you know, seems to be some sort of, you know, psychical thing where Travis didn't leap out of the truck. You know, they thought that maybe he was mind controlled and was heading towards the thing under mind control. But if you talk to Kenny Peterson these days, I mean, they even had it on like Alien Eyewitness or one of those television shows nowadays. But, I mean, Kenny starts breaking down and crying. And he's just like, imagine being, you know, 18 years old, and you're scared to go outside or scared to look out your window because you're going to see one of these things. And he's breaking down, and it still affects him to this day. So, you know, they experienced something. I'm actually credited with getting Steve Pierce, who was part of the crew, to speak at my conference and speak in public for the first time. So I've gotten to be, you know, good friends with Steve. But, you know, these guys, they saw something. Something happened. So, and it affected all of them. And I think the more familiar you are with the case and the dynamics of the crew and Travis and everything, you know, there's something there. It's probably one of the better cases that we have to deal with. Let's put it that way.
We spent a pleasant couple of hours with Travis on a recent episode of the PowerCast. We got a lot of interesting responses and typically pro and con. Of course, they talk about the lie detector test and some questions about some of them. So yes, we certainly remain interested, and we hope we'll have him back on again. We're talking this week, though, with David Stinnett. He is the head of the New Jersey UFO Conference, and we've got a lot more to cover. But first, let me give something away. We can give you a free copy of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien. Just sign up for our weekly newsletter at theparacast.com, theparacast.com, with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel? Are devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-875-6415. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Superbeta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Superbeta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station. But it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-875-6415. That's 1-800-875-6415. Call 1-800-875-6415.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Return with David Stinnett, who's, of course, associated with the New Jersey UFO Conference, as opposed to an event that I was once connected to called the National UFO Conference. Ever hear of that, David?
Oh, yeah.
It's the one, of course, that Alan Greenfield and Rick Hilbert and even the one and only Jim Moseley was connected with.
Yep. And we all love Jim.
Oh, Jim was definitely a character. Okay, Travis Walton, you feel something strange happened to him, and certainly the members of his crew seem to go along with that. But the question I would have here is, do you think he actually had a UFO-related encounter, or was it something totally different? Or was it mind control of some sort? Maybe a military experiment, some might say.
Yeah, I hate to speculate on stuff I'm not sure of myself, and I'm not even sure if they're sure of themselves as far as exactly, you know, what the situation was. But as far as I'm personally concerned, as far as their body languages and how they, you know, how they dealt with me, something happened. Whatever this stuff is, it manifests in so many different ways that and can be interpreted in so many different ways. It's tough to speculate on what, you know, what it meant or what it was, but something happened as far as I'm concerned. What it is, you know, high strangeness, you know, to the max. So.
Okay, so the big question, David, then is, would you think there is any possibility of some kind of external involvement in Travis Walton that has nothing to do with UFOs or aliens or strange creatures?
Well, Chris and I were discussing this type of stuff, actually, and we always talk about, like, monkey wrench cases. I mean, and all the good ones seem to have them. There's most of it tracks pretty good, but there's little spots in it that, you know, pop up little red flags. So say with Travis's case, you have when after he gets done playing around inside on the chair there in the viewing room, a bubble-suited guy comes out and leads him out to these other people. Now, the guy's suit is, you know, basically a 1969, you know, Apollo astronaut costume for all intent and purposes. So you're wondering, if these beings are so advanced, what are they wearing bubble suits for? And then the kicker is, he hands them off to three other people that look like the guy in the suit, but none of them have suits on. So then you get people saying, well, maybe they can't get microbial stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, well, why is this guy wearing a spacesuit around the side of a spaceship, and why is he handing it off to people who don't seem to need one? And then they put basically a period piece anesthesia mask over top of his face, and again, it's a period piece. You'd figure if these beings are so advanced that they would have, you know, something that would knock us out that wasn't that. So there's always like little things that kind of prick you in cases, and for me, you know, that's one of those things in that case.
Chris, since you're brought into this discussion, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a good point that Dave makes. You know, we always have, in almost every case, there's some small detail, maybe large glaring details that don't add up and that have this kind of, well, you know, use the term monkey wrench or tricksterish element would be another way of putting it. And it's almost as if the details of a particular case are supplied to somehow negate the acceptability of the case to others who then later on become aware of it, and especially aware of the details. So there's always this fudge factor, this weird kind of disconnect that comes out in the details. And that would be a classic example of one. Why would one of these beings have a suit on and then the others not? Maybe the guy was coming in from doing maintenance work or something on the outside. Who knows? But again, another thing that should be pointed out is, as you mentioned, David, these details tend to conform to the expectations of the witness and are often couched in the level of technology of the time. I think as we've been progressing through all these case histories and starting possibly back in biblical times, moving forward through time, that we see a mirroring of the technological progress. And oftentimes these details are couched in technology that may be just slightly ahead of the current technology of the time. So this would be a real classic example of that. And again, whether that nullifies the case or whether it supports the case, it's all in the eye of the beholder. You can use it to argue either way.
I used to use a bit, Chris, and it was like, you know, in the 1300s, it was the hidden commonwealth, and you had these, you know, these little beings that come and snatch you from your place, and don't eat the buckwheat pancakes that they offered you, and if you're able to escape, you get back to your village, and it was, you know, there was a time differential there. And then 1600s, you have all the fairies and gnomes, and they basically do the same thing, and the buckwheat pancake seems to survive as well. And then you get into the 60s, and you get these spaceship guys, and evidently, they have buckwheat pancakes, too, in at least one case.
But Joe Simonton of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And met the aliens, and he saw them cooking this thing, and he said, what's that? Or he pointed to it. And they gave him this rather inedible buckwheat pancake?
They had it analyzed, as last I remember. I mean, other than the common thread being buckwheat pancakes, whatever it is kind of presenting itself to that generation and a vernacular that generation can deal with. And maybe I should move the 1600s up to the, you know, 1700s, 1800s, but still, it's presenting itself to each generation. I guess maybe ours was like the space generation, and boom. The only thing that kind of throws a monkey wrench into that is that we do see through, you know, history and rock art and stuff like that, you know, these things that do look like flying saucers. So,
but we are interpreting whatever it is in accordance with our culture.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of us waiting to see what the next manifestation of it's going to be. Yeah?
Well, I mean, it has modified. I mean, what we see there is a slightly advanced alien technology as our own technological achievements become greater. So I guess they're not showing star maps anymore, E.T.
No. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Ted Phillips. I was having lunch with him one day, and I was saying, Ted, you know, I haven't used any like the trace evidence stuff in my case for a long time. I was looking at my vials and rubber gloves the other night, and he goes, you're one of the few people who would know this. He goes, when did it stop? I said, about 2000. He goes, exactly. He goes, we stop getting flying saucers and, you know, those type of things per se, and we get these orbs. And Ted has an active area over in Missouri where he's at, and he's filming the same stuff we're filming, and everybody else has been filming. And I was talking to Chris prior to this, and I was saying that my whole switch, I went into kind of ancient biblical documents, because somewhere around like 1996, nobody I knew had taken a picture or had video of flying saucers. We all had orbs. We had all these balls flying around all over the place in various sizes and brightnesses and colors, but nobody had flying saucers. So I'm just like, something, you know, the national conventions were basically talking flying saucers, but nobody's seen any of this stuff. So I started going in a different directions, and, you know, I was telling Chris that there's a guy named Chuck Missler, and I was always kind of a prophecy buff, but he does this lecture. It's a 2-hour lecture, but it's called Return of the Nephilim, and the first hour is UFO history. And Chuck has like a killer background. He was in the defense industry for 40 years, designed most of our, you know, ballistic systems and missile systems. His company built the electronics for B-2 stealth bomber. But he gives, you know, the UFO history as we know it pretty much, and does a decent job. And then the second half of it's kind of like the biblical narrative, you know, mostly it's from a scientific point of view. But after I got done seeing that, I'm just like, he's got it. You know, it was just, the bell rang. So I'm just like, I'm going in the wrong direction here. Then you start reading, you know, Valet and Keel and Hynek, and those guys are basically saying the same thing that this guy is saying. You know, they're academics, so they can't like really, you know, full throttle it. But even those guys were saying it's demonic, and you can see within the field now, there's a shift out of the alien stuff to the more spiritually type stuff. So it's kind of an interesting, yeah, it's an interesting move. But so that's kind of how I come at it now. I come at it from a different worldview, to say.
David Stennett is with us on this week's episode. A lot more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
A little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Yeah? Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
John said I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the Freeze-Dry Guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're exploring here a cutting-edge commentary about UFOs. That's not just E.T. coming here, helping us rather than harming us or, you know, doing hybrid races and such. David Stinnett is with us. He is a veteran UFO researcher, and he's currently running the New Jersey UFO Conference. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the conference and how it has changed, if it has changed since you took over the management of it?
I basically overhauled the conference. I came into the New Jersey Congress, I guess, in about 2008. And I was just kind of hanging around on the fringes, kind of eyeballing stuff, which is kind of what I do. But I started going to their monthly meetings because there's some critical thinkers there. And one of them is a friend of mine, and Chris knows him. It's George Hansen. And George has been, you know, crazy helpful in getting you through some of the sticker bushes that you end up going when you go this route. And start looking at it from a different angle. But I started going to the monthly meetings, so I started doing presentations, and I guess everybody was like, hey, this guy actually does the work and knows what he's talking about. And they wanted to start a whole new conference, but Pat Mercutio, Dr. UFO, has been running the conference here, and he's brought a lot of people together, and pretty much everybody in the field has, you know, gone through his doors in one way or another. So basically, I decided to revamp the conference so it's more focused on boots on the ground researchers. Guys are actually out there doing the work and, you know, not writing fluff pieces by and large. So that's what I've been doing pretty much. And I have Dr. UFO, you know, intro everybody pretty much. But the conference has been very successful. It's been self-sustaining, and I've been enjoying it because I get to talk to all my favorites. So, you know, you actually get to sit down and talk to people. And we had Chris for the last conference, so we didn't get as much talking as we want to, but we knew where everybody stood by the time it was done. Let's put it that way.
Now, in all this, the people who have believed that UFOs are reflective of ET, how do they react to your point of view?
It's been kind of odd, actually, and it's funny because it's one thing to be a old school science-based UFO guy, you still get tinfoil hatted, but if you come at it from a biblical perspective, then you get waffled quite a bit. The only good part about it is I've done the work, and I was talking to somebody that we all know, and I was just like, after doing, digging into this as much as I have, I'm just like, I'm not sure if I can get away with not believing what it's saying. I understand it now. And they kind of just smirked, and I'm like, what? And they're like, it's because you did the work, And that's what it all comes down to. You can either do the work or not. I mean, you have a lot of people out there clacking away at the computer, but, UFO work, any kind of research work, Chris knows this probably better than everybody here. It's long and it's arduous and it's tedious and it chews up a lot of your time and your relationships. I mean, there's and you have to find your balance, because these type of fields will, chew up your life pretty good if you don't.
Dang, is that an understatement? Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's true. A lot of this stuff really comes down to looking people in the eye, taking copious notes, doing follow-up work in a region where a sighting event has occurred or a wave of events has occurred, and beating the bushes and kind of creating your own leads, basically. And this stuff normally doesn't come to you unless you're standard car-carrying MUFON member. Obviously, those folks, those field investigators, will have a certain amount of cases come their way. But I think that particular model has its limitations, and you really need to be creative in your thinking and in your protocols, how you go about investigating cases, how you get supplemental and corroborating witnesses, for instance. I think is very important. Not enough work, I think, is being done by people trying to obtain corroboration of sighting events, for instance. And there's no substitute, as David said, of actually getting out there and doing the work. That's really important. And also creating networks in areas that seem to have a preponderance of events. Having people, actively outside looking, have people asking around family members, let's say fellow workers or people in their community, keeping your pulse, a finger on the pulse of a particular region. And that's one good thing about where you are, Dave. You're sitting right in a perfect spot. That's where three kind of regions come together, including that really important region of Western Pennsylvania, which I think is the hottest spot pretty much on the East Coast. And where have you found your best cases emerging from? Is it Pennsylvania, or is it there in Southern Jersey, or?
Nah, the hottest spot's been out in Western Pennsylvania, out in Murraysville, near where there's a girl out there named Allison Cruz, and she has a Seeing UFOs PA on YouTube. But I mean, anybody who's in the UFO, into the videos, they've seen Alice's stuff. She's got a ton of it out there. But I think it was like 2008. I'm in Washington Crossings, and I'm ready to head up to my house, and I have a house just right outside State College, and it's a 3-hour run. But it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was the New Veterans Cemetery in Washington Crossings. They just put it in. And I was standing outside at 7 o'clock, bluebird morning, and two huge orange craft, daylight, and it was bizarre is what it was, because I've seen daylight stuff, but I've never seen daylight stuff like that before. And I was just like, holy mackerel, like, I don't have my camera. So I tell my buddy who's coming out the door, and he goes, yeah, I forgot to tell you, there's just been these three balls hanging over I-95. My boss even mentioned it to me. I said, why didn't you tell me? He goes, so I started tracking these, across Pennsylvania, and came across what seemed to be them, and bumped into Allison Cruz. And by that point in the game, the national, UFO groups were just beating their brains out, but nobody was going there to see if it was true. So from Allison's, my place in outside State College, Allison's place is like 2 hours. So it's a 5-hour run for me to go out there. So I started going out there, and she had all kinds of crazy action, and she had cops backing it up and cops in her film. And she was getting, radar reports from the local radars for those time of days and running live flight aware. I mean, she was doing all her due diligence, and I had to go out there and basically, scatter house, clean house a bit, saying, hey, this is for real. I've got a problem with what you're saying. I got a problem with what you're saying. I got a problem with what you're saying. I'm kind of going after people, because nobody has been up there and done an investigation. The one person that did never showed up when he was supposed to with any equipment or anything like that. And it was just, it was crazy. So it actually took me a little while to have Allison recognize who I was and, you know, earn her trust. But once, you know, I've been up there, you know, a few times with all different kinds of, you know, new UFO field, you know, filmers. And so we're all out there. So we're, you know, we're triangulating. We've got good, you know, night vision, black and green. And we're all catching the same stuff at the same time. I mean, and the thing is that the cool thing is that Allison has arranged it pretty much with everybody through the valley. And when it starts popping, you know, the Daisy Jane kicks in and they'll start calling people and people go out and get out there with their cameras. So there's actually a few people out in that area who film, you know, still pretty regularly. But as things go, they seem to be cyclic. You know, they get like crazy hot and then it'll kind of cool off for a little bit. And you know, a couple of years later, it'll ramp back up. So we're kind of hitting a little bit of a quiet phase. But one person up there yesterday got decent daytime one, you know, or dusk. It was still light out, but it was still wobbling across the sky, and it was, you know, it was good footage.
The point being here is that whatever you think is causing UFOs, events are still occurring in different parts of the country. I think one thing regular listeners will realize is that there was a wave of UFO sightings, a UFO flap, in the past year or two in Canada, as recorded by Chris Witkowski. In addition, if you're a member of the Mutual UFO Network or MUFON, you'd find out that there were quite a number of UFO cases in the United States, particularly in 2013, and also in large part in 2014. So the UFOs have clearly not gone away, although, as you'll notice in this episode and other discussions we've had on the PowerCast, they tend to be taking a somewhat different posture than they did before. UFOs are modifying themselves, or we're modifying our perceptions of them. But these sightings seem to take on different aspects than the sightings of years ago. As you mentioned, this trace evidence, cases where trace evidence is left, well, they seem to have left for the last 10 or 14 years. So we can continue to discuss the changes in the UFO phenomenon and what the impact might mean with David Stennett. You have Gene and you have Chris, because you're in
the PowerCast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.